bada,
oh, way a da ba da ba ba
da ba
da da ba da da ba da da da
da ba
da 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 da
da da da da
da da da da da
da
da
da da da
da da da da da da
da
da
da
da
da da da da
da
da da da da
da
da da da da da da da da da da da.
Hey everybody.
Hello.
How's it going?
That's an interesting new voice.
Yes, and fewer
well, we
voices.
Before, and fewer voices.
All men.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back
true.
To the
Man Cast.
The Choir Corner Man Cast Edition. We are here on May 12th.
2025.
At 3:21
p.m.
3:21 p.m. We are recording an episode today. This is episode number 17.
Yes, the 41st episode in total.
Totally out of order, and putting one in the can for down the road for release later on. And we have a special guest today.
We do. We have a...
special guest.
Special guest, the Douglas Bogatz.
Douglas.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, Mr. Bogatz.
Original listener.
Yes.
Since the podcast began.
Yes, OG listener.
I remember pre-podcast, just
right.
Idea sharing from you and Mr. Lockwood about, you know, that's something that we could probably do someday.
Yeah.
It was just an idea. And yeah, this is a long time coming. Excited to be here.
Here we are, the end of the third season already of the podcast.
The very end. We've done so many.
Mr. Bogatz is former... music educator at Fremont High School.
Correct.
Director of bands and orchestras for 6 years? 7 years?
6 years.
6 years.
Yep.
And Mr. Bogatz and Mr. Lockwood and I have become good friends. So we talk about the podcast a lot. He will chime in once in a while, but he listens all the time.
You get a sense of when I finally get to the podcast in my queue, because I'll just text you guys, I'm sure, seemingly out of the blue.
That's right.
And I
remember
try
this thing from three episodes ago.
Yeah, yeah. I try to offer context when I can, but sometimes it's just straight reaction.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Well, we're just excited to have you back at Fremont and to get to talk to one of the OG listeners.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Now we're going to talk about your new book.
That's right. Yes, we have.
And I have a book here.
This segment sponsored by...
yeah.
Home and Garden.
Mr. Bogatz, what's new?
What's new? Oh, man, everything is new. Listeners may not know, after my time here, I opened up Omaha Westview High School in 2022.
You did that.
Brand new school for the Omaha Public Schools. There was one of two, the other one being Buena Vista High.
Yeah.
And right now, we are going through our first graduating class, this being the class of 2025.
That's right.
Oh, yes, because you started with like freshmen and sophomores.
Only freshmen and sophomores.
That's right.
Yeah, 3 years later, here we are.
Right. It's like a first-year teacher three times in a row.
Well, I'll tell you, I've taught high school my entire career, as you know. And it was an interesting, but at the time, kind of pleasant, everybody's just going to come back next year. I don't have to deal with like the emotional turmoil of graduation and people moving on and, you know, things of that nature.
You get quite a slow burn to build this thing.
Well, the receipts are absolutely due at this point. We had our last day with the seniors last week. And that was, our last concert and everything else like that. So all of the emotions kind of boiled over at that point.
Yeah, and they're your OGs.
Uh-huh.
So that's probably sad.
And all of them came from somewhere else, which was also interesting too. Like I tried to honor that when I was going through all of the seniors in terms of like, and this student originally, you know, came to us via Burke High School from Northwest Bennington
they
High or whatever. Exactly. Exactly. And they kind of came from everywhere, which was very interesting. Some in district, some out of district. It was just interesting to kind of see everybody's pathways and stuff like that. And so, not only, you know, can they say, we're the first graduating class and all the special things that come from that, but, you know, I shared something with them in going to two different high schools, and moving unexpectedly in some cases. Like for some of them, the plan was always, when this new high school opens, you know, but there were students that it was very much a surprise when the district came down and say, nope, you're going to Westview next year.
Right.
And
shock.
Yeah. And some of them were not at first like happy to see that, because it's like, well, I just got used to this as a freshman, right. You know?
What about my friends?
Yeah. Yes.
Why is it farther away?
Friends and right. All these and other things.
And you experienced this too as a student in Papillion.
Yeah. Papio South opened the senior year. And so like I stayed, but a lot of people were gonzo, teachers or students, you know, so we split. And so we were very sad about that.
Yeah.
So as I was kind of saying, I went to two different high schools. Both times, I was a brand new kid. When I started as a freshman at Blue Valley High School in Kansas, I had just moved back from Australia, and so I didn't know anyone. And then like the cultural stuff of like, you know, being in an American school and whatever else was also kind of a thing. So like, there was that experience, and then it was completely unexpected, but we moved, between my sophomore and junior year to Millard West High School, which is where I eventually graduated. And I went to a Millard school, for elementary for like 2 years, but like it had been a long time. And so I didn't know anyone.
Right.
And so
you don't really have that feeling of this is home, because it was just forever ago.
But what was interesting about Blue Valley was that was the first year that they split into Blue Valley West. So similar to yours, Mr. Lockwood, or do I call you Elliot on this podcast? Yeah. I'll call you Elliot. It's a man cast.
It's July, you know?
We're not in school right now.
Yes. Whatever we want.
Now we have to release it in July.
They split the school. I don't remember how they did it at Papio, but they split the schools completely down the middle.
And we did it by the creek.
Oh, okay.
Papio
but
creek.
it was 9 through 12, right?
Well, it was 10-12, and we turned into two 9-12 schools.
Oh, got it.
Which meant that everyone was... All the freshmen and sophomores were new at both schools, no matter which school they'd gone to.
Crazy.
So we had...
That would have been crazy.
It's a whole thing. But this is not about me. It's about you.
Yeah. Well, and no, they had just split. And I was kind of seeing the ramifications of that, you know, despite not knowing anyone. You know, everybody was kind of talking about that and whatnot. So I've seen this from a lot of different angles, and it's such a unique experience.
Right.
I don't know. It helped me, especially, you know, because that wasn't the only times that I had moved in my life. It had really helped me, you know, whenever I'm dropped into a new situation, I feel like I'm able to adapt, right. Make new friends, things of that nature pretty quickly. Or at least I like to think that I do.
Yeah, right.
So at the time, it was kind of a stressful thing, but it worked out in the end, I think.
Cool. Yeah.
That's tough. And, you know, it's hard to stay connected. I mean, it was before social media.
Yeah. Yeah.
Social media.
The socials.
You know, if Megan or Alexis or Emily or Michael Nichols, I don't know why he gets a last name. Michael's a generic name. We're here. They would tell you all about the socials. That's alas, right. It falls to me. So hello, listeners. You can find the Choir Corner and start over. And all the things about the podcast and the Fremont High School Choir Department on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, wherever you can get your social thingies on. You can check those places at FHS Choir. Nope. Fremont HS Choir.
Yes.
.com.
Fremont HS Choir. That's right.
That should be our domain.
You can homestall10.com.
Yes. Fremont HS Choir. That's right.
Those things. Alexis, where do we find the podcast? Well, you can find the podcast anywhere you get your podcast services. I'm waving my arms like Alexis might. Kermit the Frog.
Yes.
And like right Alexis here, Kermit you dummies. Frog? Yes, she could be Kermit. That's great.
I listen to it on Pocket Casts.
Pocket Cast.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was
I listened to way too many podcasts.
Neither were the big two. JJ's
look it up. It's a good app.
She's an Overcast.
So this is how you know.
Never heard of either of those.
This is how you know that this podcast is in year three. Like that butter smooth transition,
yes.
Segue into the social.
I don't know if it was butter smooth or not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you had landed the plane very effectively.
Yeah. We're making that happen. That's true.
I am jumping in when this is a well-oiled machine, and that is a nice thing.
Yeah. Well, we're happy to hear that. That's not necessary. I think I'm going to put words in your mouth here.
It's something like episode, you know. 41 or something.
41.
Right? Yeah. So we've done a few now.
Yeah, minus the two we haven't actually done yet.
Yeah, but we don't have to say that because...
I'm telling them.
Don't peek behind the
listeners,
curtain.
Listeners, this is how the sausage is made. That's great. Well, also today I have a very special surprise for both of you. In the A-ball today I have all three of our spouses.
Oh!
No way.
Way.
Nice. Yes. Really?
So I thought I would just... I just kind of got... them on the download. I didn't think that I would get Lindsay or JJ, Doug's wife or my wife. I thought probably I would get Jill, and I did. Yeah. But they were all game. Wow. JJ, I was like surprised that she was.
I love that.
So I have them all together in one thing, and there's no way to know which one we're going to get. So we're going to refer to them as spouse.
Okay, great. This is going to be fun. On the man cast today.
On the man cast.
I'm sure they'll love to hear
this. Well, I thought about wife, but that I don't think they'll like that. So, hello, spouse. Are you there?
Only when the moon is full and your heart is empty.
There we go.
Yeah.
We're starting off with my beautiful spouse.
Yes. Only when the moon is full and your heart is empty.
That's all the time. What about you, spouse?
Whatever you think.
You're the same person.
Two for two.
Yes. And you?
Maybe.
Three for three.
There's more than Lindsay in here, I promise you.
I'm not buying it right now.
Yeah. Is it cramped in there?
Whatever you think.
Four for four.
How about now?
Sure. I know a guy.
And Jill.
There it is.
I was trying to get JJ, but she'll show up eventually.
At some point.
Yeah. I have a ton of props. Normally, I just have like eight things because it's an eight ball.
Yeah.
They all did 12 things, so I've got like 36.
Wow. All things, the props.
So there'll be a whole bunch of them. So
what's the math on getting four in a row
from
your wife at the beginning then?
I'm sure it's some low percentage, but I don't want to do that mental math on
33%. Tape. Well, in a row?
In a row.
I guess it gets less exponentially every time.
Yeah.
I don't know. My math is not...
It is. It's one in three to start. For sure.
Yeah. They're just mapped across the keyboard.
It's a possibility. Strategically quiet because I don't want to say any like stat thing.
We don't
that
do
is
that
incorrect.
Here. We just could, say things.
It could be the same prompt two times in a row.
Could be.
It's just a randomizer.
Right.
That's true.
So actually, that specific prompt is actually 1 in 36.
Yeah. Luke Grenier, this is a good question for you.
Yeah. Somebody who does stats.
He would say, I don't do stats. I do whatever he does.
Let's do this. Figure it out.
All right. One last one. Ladies, are you ready to go?
Whatever you think.
All right. We're back to still.
Whatever you think.
JJ's in there, I promise. We'll have to find out. Meanwhile, we have today a...
Mad Lib.
It's a Mad Lib.
Yes, everything today for some reason is on the mandolin. I'm not sure why, but that's okay.
It's a pleasant instrument.
Thank you. I'm very happy to hear that. I don't hear that very often.
Sierra Hull was on my socials today.
Oh,
yes. There you go, podcast listeners. Deep Well, Sierra Hull. Are you familiar with her music?
I am not.
Oh, she's the best.
Oh, she's the best. You got to look her up like right when we're done here.
She's the best? Is she a mandolin player?
She's a mandolin player.
Are you
singer songwriter?
Are you saying you said she's the best?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would
ahead of Christina.
I would defend that.
Well, I mean, she wouldn't say that. And I wouldn't say that.
You said best.
Well, it's more it's just an accolade.
Words matter.
Words matter. We already went over this today.
Speaking of being on tape,
Harmon's like, "Why does this matter?" I was like, "It matters a lot."
Words matter. Words matter. Chris Teeley. Let's go.
That's right.
No.
Yes.
I'm sure they both would be like.
Yeah. No one in mandolin land thinks that they're better than Chris Thiele. That's not a thing.
I would imagine that'd be the case.
They all bow to him. So yeah,
I would imagine
mandolin land, a pleasant, lovely place.
Is there a way we could get either or both of them to listen to this podcast?
No. Zero chance.
Somebody on the socials, I don't really do social media anymore, can send this podcast episode along and say, "Hey, you got shout out on the choir corner."
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, I could just do it. I follow them both. Why not?
Maybe one of them is bored. It's just like, I'll check out what the choir corner is.
Check it out.
I'm just as important as all their other plebs.
That's right.
So. All right. Bogats, have you done a Mad Lib with us before?
I have not.
You've never actually done one of these with us
before. I haven't been on a Choir Corner podcast before.
Ever.
I think I had like a voice memo.
We didn't
like
do a faculty cast with you.
No.
Yeah, we right.
Started that
nope,
last
that
year.
Was, again, I was working here pre-podcast. Get all
yeah,
the,
did
get
the
all
podcast
the,
start?
Get all the popped peas in there.
It started the year days. After you left, mm-hmm, didn't it? Mm-hmm. That's right.
Sure did.
Douglas, would you give me a weather condition?
Stormy.
Mark, would you give me a country?
Djibouti.
There we go. We're back to our roots. I know how to spell it because we've done it many times.
Yes.
Douglas, an adjective. I guess it's just the two of you get to do this.
I guess so.
Tall.
Lucky us.
An animal?
A giraffe.
Those are tall. An action verb, something you do.
Throw.
A store, the name of a store.
Aldi.
Another country.
Kyrgyzstan.
Oh, man.
Kyrgyzstan?
I'm not going to spell it right, but that's fine. All right, an insult name, like moron.
Gaylord.
All right.
Is that okay for okay. A number.
Six.
Past U.S. president.
Grover Cleveland. That's the first one that came to mind.
All right.
An ordinal number.
Seven. I'll just go in order here. Okay. Oh, seventh. I see. Yes.
A color.
Chartreuse.
Another action verb.
Plays. As in an instrument. How about that?
Oh, okay. All right.
I gotta throw the band orchestra thing in here somewhere.
Okay. Instruments.
A number.
Instrumenting. 27.
27.
Instrumenting. Instrumented.
a unit of time.
An eon.
We used that one last time. An abstract noun.
Weather. Just came back.
There you go.
A mild curse word.
Drat.
A number.
63 quadrillion.
Who are you, my son now?
Yes.
He keeps on coming up with like what the biggest number is he can think of is, yeah.
They get bigger and bigger, or sometimes smaller. It's like, you got a bigger one last time.
we're having math classes almost every day.
Oh, good. Give me a food.
Pizza.
A mild curse word.
Dag nabbit.
Okay, prospector.
A unit of time.
A fortnight. There's the Australia connection right there.
There it is.
Food?
Asparagus.
That's one of the few foods I don't like.
I do.
A large purchase.
Ooh. A grand piano, because I'm staring at a grand piano.
All right. Harmon, something that comes in twos.
Socks.
A number.
14.
A number.
37.
Don't you have like a favorite number you always say for those?
He's already 27. Done 27.
Oh, you've already done it. Yeah. All right.
A hardware tool.
Ooh, I'll go basic. A wrench.
A toy.
A rocking horse.
Yes, a rocking horse. Yes.
Rock on.
Yes.
Rock on stallion.
It's just dressed like Kiss.
Audio medium.
It's like,
audio medium. We got to make sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Something you do in your free time.
Crosswords.
I guess I have to say doing crosswords.
Filling out the crossword.
So it's up to me to make this make sense in the syntax. This is going to be a lot easier to edit because we don't stop nearly as much. A unit of time.
A century.
It's a good exercise for like gut reaction.
Yes.
Yes. Country?
Let's go with Venezuela.
Venezuela.
I believe so.
Harmon, a comic book sound, an onomatopoeia.
A blammo.
A blammo?
No, blammo.
Blammo.
I was saying a comic book sound. A blammo.
A blammo.
Blammo, yeah.
That's
blammo.
That's my sneezes this time of year.
Blammo. Yeah.
Hey, spouses, how you doing? Are you doing okay?
Whatever you think.
Man.
Is JJ there?
Yes.
Ah, there she is.
There. Wow.
Exists.
Fun coincidence.
Sorry, I just hadn't included them in a while. I thought I put to all this effort and then I totally forgot about them. a last name.
Williams.
A type of tree.
Aspen.
Another word for surprised.
Nonplussed. Or is that not a natural?
You're right.
Yes.
Surprised. Confused.
Yeah. There we go. All right.
Well, Jill.
Should trust myself.
Jill, did you know that?
Yes.
You're not Jill. Is Jill there?
Sure. I know a guy.
She knows a guy. There are more than these. It always happens.
Her voice is very low in this.
Well, just that one.
Sure. I know a
guy. She was doing like a guy. Like, and then all the rest of them are not like that.
I see.
You'll just have to trust me.
I believe you.
All right. Nonplussed. We've got that.
I didn't quite recognize the voice.
This is one from before. Something on a congratulations card. Besides congratulations.
Oh, wait, is it my turn? I've lost track.
It's actually your turn.
You did it.
Did the thing.
Yes.
Did the thing. Mm.
Douglas, the name of a hero, any person that's a hero.
Batman. The best one.
There you go. Harmon, an abstract noun.
God, we're going to do this again?
Yeah.
thoughts.
And lastly, some kind of thing you say at a mic drop.
boop.
Oh, man.
I'd like for it to be like Bogats.
Yeah.
Out.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, we could do that. Bogats out.
Bogats, period. Out, period. Here we go.
That was Obama's thing.
It was.
That's true.
Yeah, Obama did that.
All right. Once upon a delightful stormy day in Djibouti, something unusual happened. 100 tall giraffes went throwing down the street as if they owned the place and stopped in front of the local Aldi. Spectators from far and wide, even from as far away as Kyrgyzstan, lined up to witness this once-in-a-lifetime event. You see, this is more than just some gaylord congregating and getting in the way of normal operations. No, sir. Some believe this to have been prophesied 6 years ago in the ancient scrolls of Grover Cleveland.
the Cleveland scrolls.
Yeah, get them out. Wherein he described it thusly. On the seventh day of the week when the skies are chartreuse, beware the 100 ravenous fiends from the hillside. They whilst stoppeth afore the most highly beloved shop / place of business, and play there for 27 eons. Watch carefully as this transpires, and prosperity and weather will be yours.
Ooh.
And so it seemed like this was it. The crowd sat anticipating in silence and waiting for the aforementioned miracle. However, after the allotted time, which is 27 eons... It's quite long.
We waited for a while.
The gathering, I think naturally, began to stir uneasily. Nothing happened.
They were
absolutely
patient.
Nothing. Yes. Drat! I left my 63 quadrillion-year-old son home alone for this. I left my pizza in the oven for this, said another. I didn't have any plans today, but dag nabbit, I'm inconvenienced, cried yet a third. The wildlife just sat there, leading to a comical stalemate of groups doing nothing. Something is wrong. Seconds turned into a fortnight. Eventually, the crowd begins to realize that they won't be able to get into Aldi until all this is over. It is, after all, the only place in town to buy asparagus and rent a grand piano. And okay. Daddy needs a new pair of socks.
I mean, I've never been inside of an Aldi, so I'll just take your word for it.
They have all kinds of things.
I hear.
We must get these guys to move. And so, a committee is formed to brainstorm a solution. 14 hours of discussion present three possible courses of action. One, a 37-step plan involving a wrench and a rocking horse. Two, putting in a request to the local office for animal removal and sitting around doing crosswords, waiting for a response for 4 centuries. Three, further subdivision of the team to investigate the viability of the first two options if we were to source out some of the labor to Venezuela. Needless to say, things are coming together. Meanwhile, a young boy emails his uncle, a zoologist. With a blammo, he's off, crossing the yellow caution tape and down the hill, much to the dread of his parents, the Williamses. I was happy that we got one with an S. He's into the surrounding woods and back in a jiffy, literally 33.3564 picoseconds. If anyone remembers 4 months ago.
Yes, well done.
And back with a single branch from an aspen. The crowd is nonplussed to see the herd react to the boy's direction. They hadn't moved in so long. The young man waves it in the air and begins to walk away, followed obediently by the group until they're out of sight. The boy returns, and an applause breaks out. We can finally go back to Aldi. Good job, little man. You did it. You're the hero of our town, our little Batman. But wait, wasn't something supposed to change? We're supposed to have prosperity and thoughts or something in the town. Nothing changed. Thought maybe they just couldn't remember what the other thing was. The young boy, wise beyond his years, responds, ah, but we did do good in the world. We proved that it could have been an email. Bogats out.
That would be something that I would say. This could
that
be
should
an
be
email.
The end this of the email. The end of every email. That should be your signature.
Bogats
out.
I'll put that into the signature, and it's going to have absolutely zero context for people around.
Right. Yep. Bogats out.
Bogats out.
Nice.
I was feeling down with committees today, so I decided to, you know, write my thoughts. I was like, take that, committees. This could have been an email.
I think I've thought that many times. I don't think I've actually ever put it down. But I think we're all in that same boat.
Put it down? This could have been an email?
Maybe, you know, like retirement year or whatever else, just to be, you know, to make my mark. It's just like, by the way, this could have just been an email. The whole time.
I have before written in response to an extremely long email, this could have been an email. Just so they're like, but it was. Oh, you mean like a shorter one?
That's right.
I've started adding in TLDRs because, again, the loquaciousness. But yeah. I also try to be thorough. Like, I don't want to like spam people's email inboxes with information. But at the same time, there's sometimes lots of stuff that they got to know, dates and call times and things like that.
I'll scroll to the top and write the TLDR after I'm all done.
Yeah, I've gotten more in the habit of doing that. Summarize. I think people actually appreciate it. Although every once in a while, like I'll have somebody come up to me and he's like, so what did that like jumble of letters mean? I don't really understand. And then I have to explain him what TLDR means.
Right.
Yes.
Which is, you know, that's fun. I can feel young from time to time.
Yes. Spouses, do you know what it means?
Not on your life.
Of the two of us, she absolutely would be the one. TLDR means. She would be the one. She is much more connected in that way than I am.
Those things. JJ, I think, was like table, locker, I don't know.
table, locker.
I don't know. She had a hard time with SMH for a while. Shake my head.
Yeah.
Shaking my head. She was like, I don't understand what. She's like, what's going on here?
It's an interesting collection of letters. Like, you don't see.
Like, some.
Yeah. You don't see them in that order.
Yeah.
I could see that. Yeah.
What about you, other spouse?
That feels like a dumb idea.
Now, how often does that get said?
All
more
that
often,
I want to
probably.
Know.
Yeah.
Yes, yes,
constantly. Okay, well, we have another thing going on. This is not actually the bumper for this, but I'm going to use it anyway because it's close enough. It's time for guitar
question. Everything.
That's Rachel Wagman.
That is Rachel Wagman.
Yeah.
This is not actually question everything. We're going to play a little game where I just rapid fire a bunch of questions to Bogats.
I'm game. Let's go.
I'm calling it the Bogats questionnaire. And you need to answer them quickly, and then I will give you a score at the end.
Weren't we calling it the Bogair questionnaire?
The Bogair
questionnaire.
The Bogair questionnaire. Yeah.
Yes.
At the end of the questionnaire, I will give you a score just based on how much I like your answers.
Well, shoot. Okay.
So
that's really digging
the cost here. Is high. What's your middle name?
John.
John,
mm-hmm.
Name of your first childhood friend. We're going to get to know you.
Ooh. Going back as far as I can, Landon.
Landon. Do you still talk to Landon?
I do not.
Sorry, Landon.
Yeah.
Was this an Australia
Landon
friend?
Landon listens to this podcast.
Hope he's doing well.
Was this an Australia friend?
No. My best Australia friend is friend is Andrew. Come and on. I do communicate with him regularly. He lives in London now.
Got it.
Yeah.
Something that you used to dislike eating, but you now really enjoy.
Ooh. I used to tell myself that I didn't like spicy foods.
Me too, actually.
Yeah. Like, it was one of those just weird psychological things. I don't know when I changed my mind on that, but I tried it and realized that, oh, actually, I love spicy food. And I'm not like one of those thrill seekers that is doing like the one chip challenge or anything dumb like that. Sorry if that's you, podcast listener, but... because I'll always, we were just
cancel
talking
Bogats here.
My family and I were just talking about hot sauces yesterday. Just like, I like a hot sauce that, you know, will punch me in the face with the spice, but also have flavor to back it up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Instead of just all pain. I will actively seek that out.
Especially
if if allergy season is high, which it is right now. Podcast listeners listening to this in July, still May, it's been a rough one.
Yes.
That usually is a good reset, like getting all the, like the sinuses moving.
Getting
usually.
The hose going.
Oh man.
Yeah. Hose.
Actually, it does work really well.
Have you ever failed any classes?
No, I was never that great at science. Well, actually, okay. So I do have one F. Not on my official transcript, but from college, I did not pass French horn skills, but I passed brass overall, so I still have my music ed degree. But what happened with French horn was a twofold thing. Number one, I was still in braces at that point, and that just didn't gel with the tiny mouthpiece. And number two, I just got done with my first year of drum corps, and I was all like... Because I was a saxophone player ostensibly before then, and I still am now. But like, I thought I was like the biggest like brass expert now because I was in a world class drum and bugle corps. I know all this stuff, and so I didn't really study. And
your head doesn't fit through the door.
Yeah. Yes.
I didn't. I like French horn fingerings. Anybody who's in the know, just don't make sense. Like. compared to other brass instruments, just logic, like none of it makes any sense. And so I didn't actually study. And so the final that had a bunch of French horn fingerings on it, I got all of them wrong.
Yeah. There's an awful lot of like, oh, this, I mean, I guess that's in that overtone series, but it's way up there. Yeah, so. Yeah,
right. And then it's like the trigger, the French horn's literally two different instruments. I'm much better now. Actually, I'm going to be going to Europe with the Nebraska Ambassadors. And I kept on asking him, it's like, what instrument do you want me to play? Because I've kind of become, and like, I can kind of fake it on a lot of different instruments now. And
why
they want
I like
me to,
you.
Yeah, well, yeah. And they want me to play French horn because I guess that's one like area of staff need sure. that they have. And I swear Shocker. To the podcast listener that I figured it out since then. Now this is coming out after the trip. So maybe there'll be like all of these stories. Just, man, that one guy from,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you'll find out.
You're going to listen to
you
this.
Listen to all the concerts and like
going,
one,
oh man, yeah. I was awful.
You hear this French horn that's just hacking it all.
I thought I had it figured out.
I figured it out since, I promise. Yeah. But,
that's so funny.
Nice. Yeah.
It's not on any official transcript, so this is a podcast exclusive. But if you want to talk like schooling, like my science classes were never my strongest classes. I like science. I thought it was fascinating. Just for some reason, it just never really gelled with me academically.
Mm.
I was hoping you were going to say I failed French horn because I wasn't in class that day when they did French horn.
You know, I missed Oboe like, Day, and I could have still been a band
that's
director.
What
I,
that's what a... That one kind of thing, right? Day. We just have one day for...
I've also gotten better at this, but I've always been, especially when I was a college student, like I'm going to show up no matter what condition I'm in. My first jury, I had the flu.
Yeah.
And the reasonable thing to do would have been to tell them, no, I have the flu. Can we please postpone? Right. And I did not do that. I was like, let's...
You thought, yeah, that'll look bad.
Yeah, so let's power through, right. You know? Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah. Any of you play the French horn?
Yeah. No, yeah.
She was a flute player.
See, this is where Jill Lindsay should chime player. In. Lindsay's gotten really good at the French horn.
Yeah. Lindsay, French horn?
I mean, I guess.
Not JJ.
Not Lindsay, yeah.
They're speaking for each other now.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. They've been in the eight ball for so long.
Well, I have them in a Facebook group, the three of them and me and stuff. And so, yes. Like, I was like, I don't think they've all, like, talked together before. So, this is wonderful.
That's fun
like,
that they're...
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's really fun. So... and Lindsay, the French horn. Oh, wait, did I already ask you? Jill, French horn, even though you already answered.
Whatever you think.
There you go. Now there we get go. Lindsay. I can't get the right person.
I think I've heard Lindsay play the French horn, and I think she's been fantastic.
Oh, good. So. What's something that you do for fun that is not music?
I already said crosswords.
Oh, yes.
But having two little kids at home, Gordon and Dorothy, shout out.
Fatherhood.
Fatherhood has been an absolute blast. And both of them are now at ages. So Gordon's been of age where he's been, you know, more fun than work, if I can. Like,
yeah. 100%.
For a long time. Dorothy has just reached that threshold. She is going to turn 3. And she is a little firecracker, but yeah. She is a ton of fun.
It's pronounced Dorothy.
Dorothy,
not Dorothy. Cool.
Dorothy. How am I saying it?
You're saying Dor. There are like three syllables.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool. Okay. That's her name. I'm just gonna I'm gonna pronounce it that way.
Right. Dorothy dot Dory. Whatever. She's had a bunch of different nicknames. We'll see which one sticks.
I like it.
Or it's just Dorothy
and Gordon cool Goodrich Bogats.
Gordo. Yeah.
Gordo.
Gordo. Gordo. Yeah.
Morning person or night owl.
I kind of have to be a morning person for my job.
Yeah,
but
that's what I've turned into also.
Yeah.
To bed at like 10:30 now.
I stay up way too late still. I shouldn't, but I do. So
trying to have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah, and I pay for it. So No, I'm probably like innately I'm probably a night owl, but I have to be a morning person for what I do. And I'm fairly successful at doing that most of the time.
What's the worst US state? Provocative.
Okay.
Give me an answer. No reasons.
Let's go. Oh, man. So I'm gonna lean into the college football side of things here because that was a lot of my upbringing.
I do have sports on here, so don't worry. That's going to come up.
Okay.
I thought about that.
Let's go with Texas.
All right. Take that, Texas.
Take that, Texas.
The first thing that came to mind was Delaware.
I'm in Delaware. Well, maybe that's the greater insult because I have no thoughts on Delaware.
Right. That's right.
As a state.
Scariest personal traveling experience.
I've had a lot. I mean, I've been in planes that had some pretty raucous like turbulence, and that was pretty scary.
raucous.
Yeah, very raucous.
It was the passengers. They were having a rave.
You know, so the summer of, go back to my drum corps years for just a second. The summer of 2007, speaking of raucous, like we experienced all kinds of weather. We had, I want to say like five different coaches throughout the summer. It's very rare to have more than one, just because they kept on breaking down or had this issue or that issue.
Oh, those and kind there was, of coaches.
Yeah. Yeah. coach buses. Okay. We had a tour that went, I swam in both oceans within the span of 9 days. It was that kind of crazy of tour. And there was one, again, I to bring this up, I think it was in Texas. There was this massive rainstorm that had flash flooding and we were just driving right through it. And I'm sure we were safe.
Gotta get there, man.
I don't know. It's a long time ago and we're all alive, but, like you see these lightning strikes going on everywhere and we're like driving literally through water and it's like, are we going to get electrocuted? I don't know. Yeah. That was probably the most scared that I have been.
That's fun.
You know, I was at that point, you know, everybody's kind of insane anyway at that point of the tour. It's just one of those things. So yeah, I would say that.
Your most influential jazz musician.
Ooh, Count Basie.
Count Basie.
There's a lot, but I always gravitate back towards Count Basie.
Your best life advice in three words. We're about halfway done.
Be kind always.
Be kind always. You can't go wrong with that.
Good one.
Yeah.
Something about the saxophone that you wish would be better, like fundamentally about like playing the saxophone. That's like, why can't they fix this?
Can I interject here and say the sound?
Now, those are, with me, Mark, those are fighting words. I've taken good pride in my ability to make a great sound.
Yes.
Mr. has hired me for
it's music one of the ones. It's one of the ones that if it's good.
I 100% agree with you.
If it's
a
bad,
long period of fighting, it does not sound
it's
bad.
Right?
I can agree with you.
It's like the violin and the oboe.
That's right. Like, oh, man.
Right.
But all three of these are like, oh, they're torture right at the beginning.
This was not a jab at your saxophone sound.
Okay.
It was a jab at the sound of a saxophone.
The Barry sounds pretty good at the beginning.
I'll accept that. Yeah. Well, it used to be the reeds, but like technology with 3D printing has gotten so good that like you could just get, for my use case, I don't play that often anymore, but like I could get like a really nice like plastic reed, 3D printed reed. And that will sound incredible and last me a long time. So they've already kind of solved that problem. So I will just go with a pretty popular one in that, like, the saxophone in and of its very nature is not in tune.
Right. I was going to say consistent intonation.
Yeah. And every horn is different.
Because you have to just sort of know your horn and be like, okay, well, this is always sharp. This is always flat. This is always, and there, nothing is good.
So my tenor sax that I have in my house, like I know that one backwards and forwards. I know all the little things that I have to do, adjustments here, like venting keys here to make it sound as in tune as possible.
Yeah.
But you know, you'd throw me another tenor and like all of the problems come back immediately because it's just like, oh shoot, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know the idiosyncrasies of this horn at all.
I was just tuned.
I have to go practice for like 2 hours just to make it sound in tune.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I was like tuned sharp because I think it's easier to lip down than up.
Oh yeah.
So I just say like, well, you know, whatever. I'll just be above it and then I'll sit on, try to sit on notes.
Yep. It's a good, advice.
I don't get to talk about this very often. Certainly not on the choir corner. So sorry.
We are outnumbering. We are outnumbering Mark here. A couple of saxophone players over here.
And then we're really outnumbering you, right, guys?
Whatever you think.
I do think that.
Whatever you think.
Yeah. This sort of spawned from, we were like, what should we do for our fun podcast? To be like, how about like Harmon's wife and my wife?
Right.
And you were like, well, they'll just like attack me.
Yep. You said that. We would just team up. I said, yeah, no, it'd be 45 minutes of me defending myself.
So I found a way to get them in here. Right, guys?
Whatever you think.
I do. Jeez. Right, guys?
Whatever you think.
Right, guys?
Yeah. No, yeah.
There you go.
Here we go.
Gosh, one's popular. Not sure why. They're in like equally sized zones. What makes a good coworker?
I think
interview question here.
Yeah. I think the ability to listen and be flexible to others' needs. You know, I was extremely lucky here, obviously, to have such great coworkers and work with them. But I've been in other locations too where
suck up.
Well,
that also.
We brought him back on the choir corner. Yes. So
I am here now. No. Look, I mean, Mark and I, we had our disagreements from time to time.
You just did Obama there.
But we would...
Look.
Just, yeah. No, but, like, you would agree, like, we had our disagreements from time to time, but we were able to, like, hash it out. And ultimately, we know that we're coming at it from a place that we're just trying to advocate for our kids, right? There's no ego there. It's just we want what's best for our kids. And I think that there are people, I'm not naming any names or places, but there are people where they just don't see it that way. Like anything that you're asking of them is like an immediate attack, or they have to like play gatekeeper or whatever else. And that's just, I mean, on top of everything else, it's just annoying to have to deal with.
Yeah.
Because I too can be annoying if I need to be.
And, you know, work is not always fun. So it's like, you know.
Right. Well, that's why they call it work.
Team, that's always good. Mm-hmm. Your most magical Royals experience.
Magical Royals experience?
Yeah.
Well, obviously winning the World Series.
Yeah.
I mean, that was.
I just didn't think of that because I totally forgot.
Look, anybody that's in the know, and we're going to turn into a baseball podcast here. We're outnumbering you at this point.
Yeah, I set it up for this.
Yeah. but I'll make it really brief. So the Kansas City Royals, for most of my life, were awful. And that's just kind of what I knew. And so when they got good, and not only were good, is like they were like it wasn't a flash in the pan or something by mistake. Like they were legitimately great. That was just a roller coaster. And when they actually won the thing, was such a relief from just like, again, I've been a Royals fan in my entire life. And so it was so cool. But the year before, I don't know if you remember this, Mark, or Elliot for that matter, but the year before when they were a great team, but you know, nobody was expecting them to like make it all the way to the World Series,
right,
which they did. And not only that, made it to all the way to Game 7, which was in Kansas City. And actually you wouldn't remember this because this was even before my time here, I think. No, it was. And
2014, right?
Yep. And yeah. I basically just, this was in the middle of the marching season. And I basically said, well, no, it would have been just after. So there was some timing flexibility. Basically, I just said to say, look, I'm probably not going to get into the stadium because the city is just, this is even before like the Chiefs run at all their Super Bowls. So the city in general was just hungry for a championship.
Right.
It was like, but I have to be in the area. And so my mom and I, because my mom is also a baseball fan, like we went down to Kansas City and was hanging out around Game 7, went to Power and Light for the game itself, which is, you know, when you see those reaction shots, the big crowds, whatever else,
the huge
we were
screen.
There. Yeah. Yeah. And the gigantic screen and whatever else. I would never do that again because the crowd was insanity, just total insanity the whole time.
Right.
I'm glad that I got the experience, but I would never choose to do that again.
Total Insanity is a good band name.
And you know, losing also kind of cemented that, but it was definitely a different feeling being around like a bunch of fans like that and losing, as opposed to, you know, what likely would have happened, just me sitting on my couch and just feeling sad, you know.
Right.
So and my mom was there, which was super cool.
It was a unique situation because they were the better team in the whole series.
Yeah, no,
except
the Giants,
for when Madison Bumgarner
exactly
pitched.
The Giants did not win the World Series that year.
That's
Madison
right.
Bumgarner won
that's exactly
the World
right.
Series that year.
Yeah,
any time that he didn't pitch, it was a completely different series.
That's exactly right.
Good memory.
Yeah,
three
wins in the series, and did he come out of the bullpen
yep.
in Game 7? I think
mm-hmm.
and close
so
it out.
The Giants
four or five innings.
Yep, the Giants took a 1-run lead.
Yep.
Like early in the game, and the coach rightfully was just yep. like, "Well, time to get
we're gonna ride this guy.
Time to get him in on little rest and all." I mean, it really is amazing.
And he was as good as
yeah.
we've really ever seen.
It's
be.
One of the best performances.
That had to be
ever.
Before your time here, 2014.
It was.
Yeah, it was before you came to.
Yeah,
Fremont.
I think my first year here, like we were still technically the world champions, even though like we had taken a step back that
uh-huh.
season. Like I was still like as much as I could. Hey, just as a reminder, the Royals are world champions. Just
right.
as a reminder.
Yeah. Well, that was the year the Cubs won it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the Cubs
which
won
was cool.
16. Yeah,
which is cool.
Two that hadn't gotten in a long time. I know this much at least.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Cubs. the Royals had won in the 80s.
Yeah.
But
the Cubs hadn't
well,
won
they had,
over 100 years.
Yeah, long, long,
basically
long
never.
Time ago. Basically yeah. never.
Their
yeah.
last World Series prior to that was 1908. Mm-hmm. So they had been 108 years.
For the Cubs. So nothing quite like
no
that.
No one remembers it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing yeah. quite like that. But, you know, it was my entire life. So
right.
there's that. So
well, and the Cubs had some chances and, mm-hmm. you know, it had some pretty good teams and sort of bad luck.
That's
right?
just it. You know, everybody remembers the Bartman moment
right.
in 2003, which, to be clear, like, he got a very bad rap for that.
Right. To be clear, that would have been the first out in an inning where they imploded.
Yeah, where
and
they
it was in game six.
In game six. That they had
they
another
then
game.
Lost game
exactly.
seven. Yeah. So.
And so, you know, not to, while we're on that subject.
Yeah.
So the 1985 championship, if you talk to anybody from St. Louis about that one, it's just
that's
like
the Dinkinger miss.
Yeah, exactly.
At first base,
it's like,
right?
well, Dinkinger called him safe and he was really out.
Right.
It's like, okay, well, that was, that would have been the first out and we were down by only a run
right.
and George Brett was coming up.
Right.
And, oh, by the way, there was a whole other game
yeah, that
you could have won
also,
that you did not.
Right.
Show up to
those really big moments are the same thing that because the Buckner
yep.
ball was also game six.
Speaking of a franchise that went a long time before,
yeah,
yep.
the Red Sox.
Yeah, but that's just it because the Cubs, you know, for me, the Royals, there was one year that they were actually relevant growing up and they were in first place at the All-Star break and they didn't make the postseason, like they completely collapsed after the after the All-Star break. It was 2000 and I think it was actually that year. It was 2003 or 2004. They started the season by winning 9 or 10 games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And of course they had been awful the years before that.
Sure.
And like everybody was just like, oh my gosh, they're like, they not only have a winning streak, but, and like I said, by the All-Star break, they were still in first place, but they were barely in first place.
Mm-hmm.
And then
right.
they completely, you know, fell apart. So that was really the closest that we got, to being like, relevant or whatever else, that, you know, whereas with the Cubs or the Red Sox or anything else, it's like, hey, you had years where at least you were close,
right?
You know,
right?
So,
and there's some relevance to the Cubs and the Red Sox, even when they're not competing,
yeah,
right? There's
yeah,
a
big market
thing, yeah.
The historical the stadiums,
right.
whatever else, yeah. We always just kind of felt like an afterthought, which, you know, this is where we can all like agree. It's like we're in quote unquote flyover country,
and, yes, right?
Yeah, so
Doug.
Yes.
Something that you tried in elementary school that you never did again.
Ooh. Oh, that's a good one.
Mine is like soccer.
Yeah.
I did like clowns as a kid. Ugh. I don't know why I did that.
I don't know. I'll have to think about that one.
I was a hobo.
I think I went to like a day of football camp at the high school level, and it was just one of those, okay, I don't... Yeah, nothing against them, but it was just like, I don't know if this is a good fit.
This isn't a thing, yeah.
You know? Sure, we'll say that. I was in youth football and enjoyed it, and then we moved out of the country, and that was that.
Never did it. Hottest outdoor temperature in drum corps?
This one I know. It was my first year.
I thought maybe you'd know
which was an oh, yeah, right off the bat. Lawrence, Kansas. In 2006
there.
And Kansas used like the state that area of the country used to be a swamp and you can feel it over the summer. Yeah, look it up like millions of years ago. And you can feel it in the dead of summer because that heat is just and that humidity is so heavy. And I want to say that it was like 116.
Ugh.
Like the temperature reading,
even
so,
just at dead air.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. And there was no breeze, you know? Oh, that was probably the worst day.
Brutal.
And yeah. What was that whole summer was hot, but yeah, Lawrence, Kansas was the hottest day.
Is that a day that you question, like, what are we doing?
I never really had that. I think my second year when I kind of knew what was coming, I think I had a few more of those feelings. It's like, oh man, here we go again, you know?
Yeah.
And the third year was like my last year. So it's like, oh, I better take advantage of this while I'm here.
Lock in, as they say.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. But no, that first year, even with all the heat and stuff like that, it was a hot year to the point where, you know, this is human perception for you. Finals, we were in Madison, Wisconsin, and it was like after 6 o'clock at night, it was still like over 90 degrees. Like it was just a hot summer, but I was out wearing sweats. You know, because the sun was down and it's just like, I'm gonna get chilly. That's kind of how it goes when you're,
yeah,
because that was also, we were in Kansas because we were going south to Texas, and so it was just the beginning of, and maybe that was part of it too, where it's just like we had experienced heat, but it was like the beginning of the real heat. And in Texas we experienced both the dry and the you know, wet heat,
right?
The humidity and no humidity, and both are terrible.
Yeah,
so
awful.
Spouses, humidity.
Yeah. I think that's
JJ.
Yep.
And I think that's apt.
Yep. Yeah.
I agree.
I think if we live here, we have to, you know.
It's a thing. You got to deal with it.
What's the dumbest hill you're willing to die on?
Oh, man. Lindsay's screaming at whatever she's listening to this for, because I know that there's a few, but I'm kind of blanking right now.
You idiot.
Yeah. Well, we oftentimes get into, because we're both music nerds, my wife, Lindsay, by the way, another band director, she teaches at Westside High School. We oftentimes get into fights about tempo, like selected tempo. And I always err on the slow side and she always errs on the fast side. And so that's just a bit of a disagreement between us that we have some time to time, and nobody else would care because it's so nerdy.
Things you hear all the time with your name that rhyme with Doug.
Ooh.
Like smug.
Yeah, smug. I think, well, little kids, if they don't know any better, will call me Bug, and that's usually pretty cute.
Ah.
Yeah.
They don't mean to.
No.
Not like a playground insult, but a.
No, no. And that's been pretty much my entire life. So I guess anytime I hear the word bug, I kind of just, it reminds me of that. But it's more of less of, you know, pleasant thing. Oh, yeah.
I was hoping you'd say smug or thug.
Thug. Thug Doug, yeah. Well, maybe you were going to say dig Doug or something.
Yeah, like yeah, yeah.
Something cool you know about another country. Let's pick one that's not Australia.
I was about to say, how much do you want to know about Australia?
Yes.
Something cool I know about another country. Oh, it's probably music related. You know, I will go music related. So I did this deep dive. Speaking of niche things, I did this deep dive in my grad degree on like Albanian dance music. And something for the listeners to Google. I swear, like, it is some of the most fun music that you will ever hear, because they have this like offbeat rhythm sort of thing that they do all the time. Just these people that kind of learn this stuff by ear. I don't know why it was that subject area. And you know, with a grad degree in music, you'll go in all kinds of wild directions, but that's just something that kind of stuck with me, because I was like, at first, like, oh boy, where's this going to go? But by the time I was done, it's like, you know what? That was fascinating. Yeah. And I loved that. And I still have, because I'm a millennial like you and have an iTunes library that I keep up. I still managed, have like tracks.
He's heard this on the podcast.
Oh, yes. Yes. The managed iTunes library.
I knew
is a
somebody
lost
would think that.
That is a lost art.
I was like, I put so much work into this. I can't get rid of it.
I know. That's the worst part. I can't just abandon it with all the hours that I put into it.
Yes.
I still have tracks from that research that I listen to from time to time. It just makes me happy.
Yes. Something they don't make like they used to.
Just because it was a recent purchase, I'm going to say cookware. And the only reason I say that is because, like, I think we all have parents/grandparents that had stuff that they had forever, like from their weddings or whatever else. And it was still working extremely well or whatever else. And it feels like, you know, you try to not cheap out with these sorts of things. And yet the nonstick coating will start to chip pretty quick, or it'll start to look like trash, you know, no matter how well you clean it or whatever else.
Yeah. JJ tries to use her cast iron thing for so many things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like cleaning it, but you know, like, it's going to last, you know, that thing is going to be fine.
Yeah. And that's a good investment if you know how to treat it well. But man, there's so many other things where you think that you're being smart about it, and then like 2 months later, it's like, ah, this looks like garbage too.
Right. Okay, I've got three more. I'm looking at the time also, so this is a serious one. Who do you miss the most? Just like someone you don't see, or someone's died, or whatever.
Who do I miss the most?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's a heavy one. There's been so many like cool people that I've like gone in and out of my life. Going back to like I moved a lot as a kid, and so I got to know a whole bunch of different people. You know, it's a stock answer, but it's a true one. Like, all of my grandparents that I knew growing up, like I was the oldest, one of the older cousins of our many cousins. I'm the oldest sibling. And thus like was one of the few that kind of got to experience them a lot more than some of the younger cousins and things of that nature. And they were just genuinely fantastic people. I kind of got a second round of that when I started dating Lindsay, and then we got engaged and whatever else, because her grandmother lived a very old age and was still like with it for a very long time. And it was kind of like a second run, because all of my grandparents by that point had moved on a long time back. And it was kind of a reminder of like, oh yeah, like, you know, that generation of people and the stories and just, you know, how pleasant they were. So Dorothy, this is where my daughter's name comes from, was Lindsay's grandma. And so we named our daughter in honor of her.
Oh, that's cool.
And you know, it is, yeah, she was an incredible lady too. But it was kind of a second thing for me in that, like, oh yeah, I remember this, talking to my grandmothers, both of whom I got to know fairly well. My grandfather, for a good chunk of my life. My other grandfather, unfortunately, had passed when I was really young. But the stories I hear about him, you know, he owned a grocery store in South O. And so, like, people see my name that grew up in that era, in that area of town. And yeah.
What was the name of it?
Very simple, Bogat's Grocery and Meats.
Oh, right.
And he was known for his pickles. Like, he made pickles in the basement of the, I think, of the grocery store and sold them for a nickel. So he had pickles for a nickel.
Yes.
And like, I'm serious. Like, that's the thing that people talk about when they see my name, if they're in the know. It's just like, hey, are you related to? Oh yeah, that was
the pickle guy.
That was my grandfather. It's like, oh man, the pickles are fantastic. It's like, I know. So it's like, I didn't know him terribly well, but you know, I've just seen through stories and lore and stuff like that. So yeah.
Most unhealthy fast food that you keep eating.
Oh, probably Raisin Cane's. I eat way too much Raisin Cane's. And the cane sauce with the Raisin Cane's.
Oh, really good. The last one, the most hard-hitting one.
Okay.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Someone keeps stealing my blank at work.
Post-it notes.
Yeah.
Real ones would know. I'm obsessed with post-it notes, and it's probably my own fault. I'm probably just using them.
Getting angry at the other, where it's
just like, where are all my post-it notes?
Are you off enough to know that like the stack is getting smaller, or they just take the stack and it's gone?
It's just, again, it's probably self-inflicted, and I just don't realize it in the moment because it's just like I just grab and use for whatever I need because I probably go through way too many in a day because it's like it's one of those things. It's like I need to write this down right now. It's the first thing I go for. And no, I don't track that, and I probably should, just to see where they're happening. It's probably just me, but yeah, there'll be a time where it just disappears, and I was like, I knew that there was a pile here, and I would kind of look around, and yeah,
my tape and stapler disappears sometimes, but not so bad, not enough that I'd complain about it. But I'm going to mention it.
Yeah,
take that, students.
Yeah, quit taking his tape and stapler.
Yeah. So out of 10, I give you an 8.
All right. Solid B.
I didn't write anything down, and I'm completely making that up, but the points don't matter, and there you go.
It's pretty generous.
That's pretty good.
Thank you, Drew Carey. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Spouses, do you learn anything?
Whatever you think.
I had that one a lot. I'm just going to press somewhere else on the keyboard here. Maybe it'll give
this
me
this podcast has probably been so boring for Lindsay.
Like, she's like, oh, this like, stuff.
I've heard all of this stuff.
What about
so
you?
So many times.
Other spouse?
Maybe.
Or you?
Yes.
Or you?
Yeah, no.
JJ, unimpressed. Who knows? Those are all the questions I have
largely,
for you.
Largely, they've been unimpressed.
Yeah, there's a lot of those ones. I feel bad because there's so many of them I haven't used, but I can't help it. It's just
largely, they've been unimpressed with us.
Well, listeners, we're going to hear you again. Or no, that's not how this works. You're going to hear us again.
Yeah.
Probably in the very end of August, the beginning of September.
Right.
With the two new hosts you will have heard by now.
Right. Season 4.
Emily and Michael, and the two of us, Mr. Harmon and Mr. Lockwood, for season 4 of The Choir Corner, coming to a podcast service near you.
More than I even recognized.
Yeah. Lots of.
Yeah.
Pocket Cast is what you said?
Pocket Casts. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
I just never heard
the
of
Apple
it.
One because
well,
that's
yeah, me too.
In my ecosystem.
Yeah. Me look too. It up. Look it up. It's worth it.
All right, folks. Is there anything else for the good of the order?
The order.
The order. I got nothing.
The order. All right, folks. Hey, I hope you have a wonderful summer and that the heat is not too oppressive. We haven't had a rainstorm, a monsoon, or a flood, or a disease and famine in all
You're
the
just
land.
Calling for it There's, all right now. It,
this is literally 2 months from now, so we have no idea of knowing. So,
pre or post July 4th?
It'll probably be post.
Post.
Yeah.
I hope that you had a happy 4th.
Keep all
the
your
Bostonians
fingers.
Would say.
Yes.
Yep. I hope you've kept all your digits.
Yeah. Flag Day will be before that. That's cool. That's patriotic. Also, Harmon and I will have turned another year older.
That's right.
By then.
That's right.
So
pretty recently, probably.
I'll be 39 and Harmon will be 70 something.
48.
48.
I would like to just a small plug.
Okay. Plug
here,
away.
We can do this. Coming up July 28th through August 1st, we will be having our summer musical camps with our students, our elementary and middle school students.
That is coming up.
And this year, for the first time, we are hosting a fine arts showcase on Friday night, August 1st. It will include a elementary performance of The Lion King, cool. A spaghetti feed or something of the like for dinner, a 7 p.m. performance of middle school students doing Beauty and the Beast, also and cool. Then the marching band performing their halftime show at the end of the
because that would be the end of their band camp.
Band camp week.
Nice.
Dude, it's
at
full.
8 o'clock wow. That evening under the lights at the new stadium right here next to the school.
Is that the date you're not at the loft?
That's the date I'm not at the loft. So August 1st.
The right. One thing that somehow up until this point I failed to mention, but I've been in Fremont a lot more often this year.
Sure.
Yeah. Being the adjunct jazz instructor at Midland University.
Right. The abject.
Right. Abject.
Abject adjunct.
It's a newish thing, so I'm still kind of getting used to it. And that's a whole nother story. That was a cool sure. experience. I even got to teach former students from Fremont High.
So you're doing jazz, you say?
Yes. So, yeah. Yes, teaching jazz. And
you like jazz?
is the bee still in the band room? Speaking of which,
I hope so.
That was a delight. Seeing that stadium, this whole area transform yes. like over time, especially since you know when I was used to it driving here and whatever else. Yeah, I bet that's awesome.
It's gonna be pretty cool.
I
we're looking forward.
Would have loved that when yeah. I was here. So
fine arts
I hope the band kids really enjoy that.
Yeah, I think so. August 1st.
August 1st.
We'll start at 5 p.m. There'll be events every hour on the hour, essentially, for the whole evening.
Yeah. 9, 10, 11 o'clock.
Good
Not
idea.
Not quite that late.
Don't even go home. Yeah, Not quite that late. It's all night.
Good idea. That's
band nice. will cap it off with there their performance go. At 8 o'clock. So we thought it'd be a little cooler at that point, probably oh, yeah. on August 1st.
Well, hopefully. Right?
Maybe we'll turn the lights on, see what we can do.
It's not going to be cool.
8:15, 8:30. Well, cooler than it would have been at
cooler,
5.
Cooler, yeah.
For sure. Yeah. So... It
people in the future
time.
When they're listening to this are going to be like, you don't know what you're talking about.
You yeah. don't know. So it'll be great. It'll Absolutely. Be great. August 1st.
The order.
The order.
The order.
That thing again. All right, That's listeners. Right. Hope you have a wonderful summer. See you in the new school year. So
Coming
long.
Up soon. Adios.
Bye-bye. Hey, oh, Bob.